one thing. What do you want? What do you want? If we're clear about what it is that we want and we're vulnerable enough to make it known, sometimes really that's the sticking part. We know what we want, we just don't want to kind of stick our necks out there and let people know that that's kind of where we're at. Maybe we're lonely and we are in need of company, but to actually tell someone that is to make oneself vulnerable. So to know what you want, to recognize it, and then to be vulnerable enough to present that, then so many human relationships would be so much easier and so much more authentic to be able to relate to one another in that reality. Because so many of those wants that we think that we want are things that perhaps maybe once we recognize them or say them out loud, we begin to recognize, well, maybe I don't really need that. Maybe we can compromise a bit more. This is essentially the question, what do you want, that Jesus turns around and asks these two disciples, what are you looking for? He just very straight. He doesn't mix words or anything. Simply, what are you looking for? What do you want? What are you here for? And that question resounds to us as well, still today. What are you looking for? What is missing in your life? What are you here today in need of? What do you want? Where is that area of your life that is in turmoil, that is in need of God's grace? Perhaps that place where you don't even want to recognize out loud, because with that is a certain degree of vulnerability. The two disciples, I get this sense that they kind of stumble a little bit. The directness of the question, where are you staying? We don't really want to express out loud yet all that it is that they are hopeful for. For John the Baptist had just told them, he's it. He's the one. He's the one that you've been following me to wait for me to point out to you. So here's that moment. And thank God they act on it. They start to follow after him and this blunt question and their answer, as best as they can put it, where are you staying? Come and you will see. In our first reading, the prophet, the high priest Eli, is in the temple and he is there for Samuel to hear the Lord's voice, but Eli doesn't recognize it at first, nor does Samuel, because, well, the both of them are unaware that God is speaking directly to Samuel. Eli has gotten mixed up before. He's the one who saw Hannah, Samuel's mother, in the temple murmuring, and Eli thought she was drunk. He said, get out of here, woman. What are you doing here? And she explains how much she wants a child. And so Eli prophesies and says that you indeed will bear a child. Eli has this reputation of not getting it right away. But he is there nonetheless. And then when the Lord calls, he finally recognizes that his answer should simply be, here I am. Here I am, Lord. That hymn from the 80s that scared the living bejesus out of me. Here I am, Lord, became, here I'm not, Lord. Find somebody else. yet all of us in our own way are called upon to proclaim that. Here I am. I'm ready. What is it that you want from me? And these two realities, these two simple answers, come together in a way that presents the tension of the Christian life. Eli's guidance to Samuel helps Samuel to recognize that God is coming to him. He is in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, but God is coming to him. And in fact, that's the wholeness, the fullness of the incarnation, wherein Paul is able to proclaim that we are a temple of the Lord, because Christ has made the human body the dwelling place of the divine. Samuel is to recognize that he is to simply be present and recognize God's desire to come to him. Christ's answer, however, is come and see. You can't just stay where you're at. You can't just stay with John the Baptist and continue this life that maybe has become somewhat comfortable, even though I highly doubt the life of John the Baptist to be comfortable. But nonetheless, he calls them out of that. Come and see. Here I am, and come and see. There's the tension there and the recognition that God comes to us no matter where we are, no matter what difficulties we're experiencing. God's desire to be with us in that. And yet, God doesn't just want us to stay there. God wants us to call us out of that. Come and see. Come and see what glory I have waiting for you. In this encounter that Andrew has with Jesus at this time, at his home, where they must have just simply sat and talked. How wonderful that would be if one of us were able to do just that. To visit with one another, to sit and talk without fear and all of that. And there's something about this meeting. Andrew goes home and tells his brother, I have found the Messiah. And there's that curious line. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What's that all about? Those major moments in our lives, those moments when we reflect on years later, we remember strange details about where you were and what you were doing, how it felt that day, any number of large events that any of us have encountered in our lives. Small, strange details tend to stick out. And for Andrew, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He found what he was looking for. He found everything. Looking into the eyes of his Creator, he saw the answer to the question that he wasn't brave enough to fully ask. He ran home and got his brother, and he brought his brother right away to just be in the presence of God. We have opportunities here in Mass and throughout our lives to be in the presence of God, to come to him so that he can be with us where we're at. We open our hearts the way Andrew did, maybe just a little bit at first. Maybe just small steps, but recognizing that ultimately what God is calling us to is the fullness of all that we are looking for. To see within him our God made flesh, the fullness of everything, the answer.